You think a tiny chip could be the answer to blindness? It sounds like sci-fi, right? Well, you might want to think again. Here's a clip of Elon sharing the first two problems his company Neuralink is focused on solving.
It really actually, we're going far beyond what the requirements are of the FDA from a safety standpoint. Mm-hmm. And the initial devices will really just be a pretty basic. It'll be about restoring functionality to people who've lost their connection between their brain and their body. So you can imagine, like, if, say, Stephen Hawking could talk or communicate as fast as somebody with a fully functioning body, mm-hmm. that would be amazing. So that's like what we're trying to do. That's our first application, is to restore functionality to quadriplegics, tetraplegics, and people who have just, for whatever reason, no longer have a connection between, or if a limited connection between their brain and their body. Mm-hmm. And then the second application would be restoration of eyesight. So if somebody's gone completely blind, maybe even has lost the optic nerve, you can actually still directly stimulate the neurons in the visual part of the cortex. So you can give direct vision to the brain. Mm-hmm. In fact, you could actually, depending upon what cameras you use, you can actually see in different wavelengths.
Around 40 million people around the world have some form of blindness. This number continues to grow, but fortunately, this problem may become an issue of the past. If you've been subscribed to Neuropod and already understand the basics of how Neuralink will work, go ahead and skip the next 60 seconds of the video. So far, Neuralink has demonstrated they've successfully been able to implant this quarter-sized package in monkeys and other animals. And now that it's time to test in humans, you're probably wondering how this tiny package will be able to provide vision to those who don't currently have it. Neuralink is working on building a brain-machine interface, or a device that will help us send information from our brains to computers and vice versa. The surgery will require cutting open a hole in the skull and having a surgical robot sew these very tiny threads into the brain. The threads have probes that can detect electrical impulses from the neurons and then send this information back to the chips. Since there are many problems Neuralink hopes to solve in the future, like depression, blindness, or paralysis, they have to identify the best areas of the brain to implant these chips. In the case of paralysis, for example, they'll implant in both the motor cortex and the spinal cord. In the case of solving blindness, they'll implant in the visual cortex in the back of the brain. I had the chance to interview James Dauma and ask him for more detail on how they'll be able to achieve this.
So it should be able to solve most kinds of blindness. There's a kind of blindness, like anything that's wrong with your eyes or your optic nerve or the processing in your thalamus, like it bypasses all of that. It goes straight to the visual cortex. And it turns out some people have lesions in their visual cortex where, like, they'll have some damage usually it's from a stroke or something like that. But the brain, because the brain is so plastic, given time, their brain will rearrange itself. So the functions that the damaged tissue used to do will be taken on by other things. And then, so some level of visual acuity gets restored. And so the prosthesis will be able to take advantage of that to some extent, the flexibility of the tissue to help provide vision even to people who have cortical blindness is when your cortex is damaged and you're blind because of that cortex damage. I was trying to come up with a really good summary of, like, how do they intend to restore blindness? I mean, the simple answer to that is they intend to install in the skull a visual prosthesis that will attach to the visual cortex in the brain, probably around V1, where they can inject a signal that the brain will interpret as an image in a similar fashion to how it interprets the signals that come from your eyes to the brain. So that's like the 10,000 foot level of what's going on. They have an implant. So can they do this? They can totally do it. Like, it's been demonstrated. In fact, they probably have the approach they're taking to doing the implant is extremely well suited to doing vision, like better than other things are. I mean, a big part of it is they have a lot of electrodes, right? And, you know, pictures are made of lots of pixels. And to a first approximate, I mean, there's different ways the prosthesis can be done. And over time, they will probably change the part of the brain that they interface to. Because one of the things that's going to happen when they start doing this is they're going to learn a lot about how the visual cortex functionally works in human beings and how people experience that interaction. Because they're going to be putting many more electrodes into human beings who can tell you what the experience is like. Like, there are a lot of experiments you just can't do with animals because you can't get the feedback from them to help you understand what's going on. And it's hard for animals to do kind of direct feedback, to interact with the machine, which is interpreting their images and guide it to helping them see better, right? Like, that's just going to be a lot harder to do with an animal. So when they start doing this stuff in humans, I expect it to move forward relatively quickly. The physical part of it is, you know, being able to build the implant, being able to install the implant safely, and being able to connect the implant to the parts of the brain that matter for vision. The visual cortex is in the back of the brain. And as we talked about in other videos, like the gray matter of the neocortex is on the outside surface of the brain. So it's pretty easy to get access to neurons to trigger them in the visual cortex within reason. There is kind of this annoying thing, which is there's a fold in the brain, right, where the cortex is. You know how the brain, it looks kind of lumpy. And that's because it's a flat sheet, which has been wadded up so it'll fit inside your skull. So it has these folds in it, right? And the points you want to access are on the surface of the folds. So most of the folds aren't super deep, but some of the folds are pretty deep. And it turns out that there's a pretty deep one in the back, right in the middle of the visual cortex. So now they can insert these probes quite deeply into the brain. And they might want to go pretty deep, depending on what parts of the visual cortex that they get to. When you start out, the simplest thing to do is, it turns out very conveniently for people who want to make visual prostheses, that the neocortex arranges the image that comes from your eye, the neurons that work on that, almost like a projector screen on the back of your head, right? So we already know about where the neurons for the different parts of your visual field go. So what when you look at something, your brain takes what both eyes see, it kind of mixes it together, it turns it into an overall perception. Like there's this initial processing, which actually happens kind of deep inside your brain. And then the part that appears on the back of the visual cortex is almost like a projector screen of the person's field of view, like what they see. And it's the combination of what both eyes see. And so you can pick different points on that and you can say, well, this is in the center of the vision and this is a little left and this is a little further left. So by putting a grid of electrodes in those spaces distributed according to the phosphors that you want to activate, you can paint pictures for people. And essentially by painting those pictures with the prosthesis, in the same way that we paint pictures on a computer screen, like you can make a movie, you can make vision out of it. So it's a little bit more complicated than just saying, I want brightness here and darkness there, because there's a little pre-processing. But one of the great things about the thing like the Neuralink is it's got a lot of bandwidth going in and it has a pretty powerful computer outside. So for instance, if you had a camera with a computer, like even a cell phone can take an image, can pre-process the image into what set of neurons need to be activated in the brain, send that to the Neuralink, and then the person will experience seeing through the camera. Now, when we say seeing, in early days, it's going to be fairly crude because the level of refinement that science has gotten to in terms of being able to generate this stuff is not very high right now. But as I mentioned at the start of this, once they start putting these prostheses in people and getting feedback from people, I would expect the quality of what they're able to deliver to very rapidly increase. And it'll increase because the software should get better at a pretty terrific rate, both for individuals and across all the devices. And then when you combine that with, we talked before about how they're trying to increase, electrode numbers, they're going to 16,000 electrodes in the, I guess they have a dye that has 4096 electrodes, and they're going to put four of those in a single implant so they can do 16,000. That's a pretty functional amount of, I mean, experiments have been done with stimulating the visual cortexes in human beings to provide images and that kind of stuff. And they've been much, much lower numbers. And yet people can get utility out of that, right? It doesn't, there's a huge difference between being completely blind and having even a little bit of vision, right? So later, the way that the way that your brain processes video is it starts with a very simple representation, which is pretty much, just the colors and the patterns you're seeing. And then it interprets that as it works its way up the visual cortex into higher and higher level abstractions. And so as time goes on, they may develop the software. In fact, it seems likely that you would develop the software to let you access those higher level abstractions. So instead of, and the reason you might want to do that is because at the low level, to some extent, you need like a probe for every pixel, every dot that a person can see across. And so, a 4K television that has a lot of 4-megapixel screen, like you'd need 4 million probes or something if you wanted to like do a similar thing. But if you're able to access higher levels, fewer probes get you more resolution, or they get you the experience of more resolution. So at least that is what should happen. Of course, most of this stuff hasn't been explored because they're pretty hard experiments to do, and they're going to get a lot easier once we start providing basic capabilities to patients, like through the process of working with patients and giving them basic capabilities. The technology should rapidly be able to move forward to providing better and better and better. So I would think the second, third, fourth, fifth generations of these would be radically better than the really crude things that we're going to see on the first try. Even people with congenital cortical damage could potentially, and I think that was something Elon mentioned specifically, like potentially this works. It should work, eventually. It's going to start out being a level of visual acuity, which is very crude compared to what like a person with 20/20 vision or even somebody with 20/200 vision has. Like it's going to be really, really crude, but it's still going to be an enormous improvement for people who are like profoundly blind, because the insertion process in the visual cortex is a bit more complicated. The surgery is a bit more complicated because of these folds they might want to go into. I would kind of expect that to come a little bit later, as they've got a better understanding of how and where they want to stimulate tissue, then moving on to doing the visual cortex. And they can start, they don't have to start by going deep into the visual cortex. I mean, early implants, when they do them initially, because it's like the part of the visual cortex you want to access, it's not all deep inside there. There are parts of it that are exposed outside. So, and because the brain is so plastic and flexible, for someone who's not using their visual cortex, like if you stimulate another region which is close to the region that you want to get to, the brain will rewire itself to take advantage of that, right? But in order to make the best use of the wiring the brain already has, and to make it easier for people to be able to get good use out of the visual prosthesis quickly, you would like to start with the closest to the natural mapping of these structures that you can get. I don't know what the specific technical challenges that they have right now are, but what they're building is a very general and flexible interface to the brain. And once they start getting it installed, it's going to become a software problem. The good thing about it becoming a software problem is software progresses 100 times, 1,000 times faster than the hardware does. So, my intuition is that in terms of, functional utility, that things will progress very quickly once they've got the basic interface in there and they can start working on the software aspects of making it work really well.
Thanks for watching. My name is Ryan Tanaka. If you're interested in hearing more from James about how Neuralink works, check out this video.